Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
Some of you guys, if you've been around district events very long, you've met some of these guys, you've seen them at camp, or you've seen them at Fine Arts, or wherever, but man, they have such an awesome testimony, they have such an awesome heart to go after God. And so if Caleb, I don't know where Caleb is, and David would come up, these guys are going to get to share, and you're going to get to hear a little bit more of who God is in their lives and who God has called them to be. And so and we're going to show a video and then when he gets up here, I should say that. So with that, let's give it up for Caleb.
Hi guys, how's it going? Sorry, I'm a snotty mess. Jesus is doing his thing. It's very nice to meet you. Good to be with you guys tonight. My name is Caleb Fletcher. I am 28 years old, and I am a staff missionary with the Agora Group and the Agora School for Global Leadership. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about it, but to start us off, I wanted to roll this just quick 60-second clip about who we are and kind of what we do. So roll that beautiful bean footage.
Ready to live your life on purpose and for Christ? Ready to start or continue your undergraduate degree? Now you can do all three at the same time.
A little bit of jet lag.
We are the Agora School for Global Leadership. We are looking for students ready to change their world. Students who will engage the hurting and broken through compassion and love. Students who will roll up their sleeves and serve like Jesus. Take real courses for real credit while participating in domestic and international missions experiences. Grow in God and missions with new friends while forming personal relationships with amazing professors. Be mentored by Christian leaders in your future profession while being connected to one of the fastest growing churches in America. So who says you have to wait until after college to make a difference? Work on your degree, discover your destiny, and travel with purpose. The Agora School for Global Leadership. The world is our campus.
Okay, well anyways, we are a college program that is a satellite of Valley Forge, or the University of Valley Forge out of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. This is my alma mater. I went there to study children's ministry and was a children's pastor for 3 years, and then God called me to this crazy mess. What we do, who we are, is the Agora School for Global Leadership, Valley Forge, that stuff. It is a one-year college program in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. So not too far away from here. We're on the near west side in a suburb called Fairview Park. And from there, we do 30 courses of college credit coursework that's fully accredited and fully transferable to any institution in the United States. We had a young lady come with us for a year. She got 30 credits, and she took them all to Penn State University so that she could go into nursing, and they took every single one of her credits and applied them to her degree. Because really, we talk a lot about the Bible. We talk about God's view of the world. We talk about changing your world view to God's view of the world. And we do that not because we want you to be a pastor or a missionary, but if God calls you to those things, that's great, but because there actually is a calling on your life. How many of you in this room believe that there's a calling on your life? Okay, how many of you think that has something to do with the ministry? Cool, awesome. I can raise my hand in that one too. How many of you think it's in a quote-unquote career or secular job? Yeah? All right, that's awesome. Because truly, every single one of us is called. If God has created you with a desire to do science, do it to the best of your ability. That can be your calling. Because there are people in the scientific world who we all know absolutely need Jesus without a doubt. Okay? If God has called you into law or into business or into medicine or into the arts, if there's some kind of dream, some kind of something stuck somewhere down deep inside of you that you just can't let go of, no matter what other things you take a look at or what you try to figure out for yourself, maybe, just maybe, that's going to be the calling that God has placed on your life. And that's really what we like to help students find at the school. The year is not just about education, but it's about learning more about yourself as a person. We do all kinds of personality tests. They get to live in an apartment with 3 to 4 other roommates, cook their own food, clean their own stinky toilets, clean up their bedrooms, do their own nasty laundry, and clean their kitchens, please, and do their dishes, because I'm not going to do them for them. But I get to live with them and around them, and it's pretty stinking cool. But you're put into all of these things and all these places so that you can figure out who you are, how God has created you, and what he's wired you to do. That's pretty sweet. If I had this when I went to school, when I went to college, I might have skipped out on regular college for a year to do this. Because we do 15 credit hours in the fall, 15 credit hours in the spring. You live with your roommates in an apartment about half mile up the road to 3/4 miles up the road from our classrooms at Journey Church, where we study and where we have our offices. Then we go into the city of Cleveland. We go to an elementary school where in 16 students, one of them was born in Cleveland. The rest of them were born in 6 different nations. Puerto Rico, Mexico, Nepal, Kenya, Somalia, Nigeria. That's our classroom this year. Second grade kids. Boy, oh boy, that's fun. I love it. I love it. Then we go to the West Side Market. This is a bit different because we go there to buy our groceries, yes, and support the livelihood of the vendors, but the idea is to go and to talk to them and eventually be able to share Jesus with them. We get to know who they are. We get to know where they're from, ask them if there's anything that we can pray for, and the goal is to see if we can tell someone about Christ. Because no matter what you're called to, that's your job as a believer. That's God's will for your life. If I can just speak a moment about finding out what God's will is, let me simplify it for you to 2 things. First is to know him. That's what the Bible talks about. That's what the Bible teaches us in part. It's partially learning from the scriptures, and it's partially learning from our relationship. But to know God, to know who he is, and that takes our lifetime. To know him. And the second thing is to make him known among the peoples of the earth. Go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew, Jesus' own words. To know him and to make him known. Now, his plan and his design on your life, that's where it can get a little bit more tricky. But his will is really simple. It's to know him and to make him known. So we go out and we make him known. We go to the West Side Market. We go to Scranton Road Bible Church and do an after-school program, which we drove here from this afternoon, working with 4th through 8th graders right in inner city Cleveland. It's incredible. I went there my first time as a staff member, and I didn't understand the city whatsoever. So God takes all of these kids from all across the state of Ohio, puts them in the city of Cleveland, puts them in this education, puts them in this apartment life and this discipleship walk that we've got created here at this funny little school, and then shows them all the things that they don't know about life and about who he is. Now, the cool thing is, we don't just do this here, but at the end of our spring semester, after you've done 12 credits more worth of college work and 12 to 15 more hours of outreach in and around Cleveland, you get to spend the last month overseas. And this year, we are going to... You guys thought I was going to tell you. Ha, 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 suckers. But we spend the last month overseas. In the last 2 years, I have been to Thailand, Vietnam, Burma, Peru, and Colombia in the past 2 years doing missions and ministry work. And Peru, Vietnam, Thailand, and Burma were all full team missions trips with college education because 30 credits, 12 and 15, that's a little bit short. You get the last 3 in that month overseas while you're studying abroad doing missions work. We went into Burma this past year and got to experience working in orphanages, working in unreached people groups, going into places that none of us would have probably ever expected to go in our lives. But God has plans for you and has people for you to reach. And this is the Agora School for Global Leadership. This is the quote-unquote real community college, as we cheesily like to say. So I'm going to ask our team to come on up. You guys saw them up on the stage for worship. There were a few more hanging around the back. But I just wanted to take a quick second. How am I doing on time, Pastor Donnie? Oh, it's 8 o'clock. All right, well, then I have to do this super quick. All right, so I'm going to shut up and pass the mic off. And you are going to introduce yourselves, my minions, where you're from, and your favorite food, and then your favorite part about Agora so far. All right? Favorite food. Yes, Grams, favorite food. All right, I'm going to start down here with this fine-looking young man. Remember your name, where you're from, your favorite food, and your favorite part about Agora so far. Ready? Yep. Are you sure?
Let me think about my name.
Let me think. Okay, start down there. No, you know your name. All right.
My name's Ian McGillis. I'm from Belle Fountain, Ohio. My favorite food is steak, and what I like about Agora is like it's like a family, and you get super close with the rest of the teammates, and it's pretty cool.
Not me. It's my turn. It's my turn. I like the mic. Hi, my name is Lewis Gallagher. I am from Cleveland, Ohio, so very, very far away from here. Okay, what was the next question? My favorite food. My favorite food is just like Ian. I love steak. I also love lobster with fries. I like a whole, yes, a meal. And, okay, what do I love most about Agora? That's a tough one. No, I'm joking. I love the community. I love everything about it. I love the people that you meet and the ministry opportunities you have. You don't just have just one area. You have kids, you have teenagers like you guys, you have adults, and you have the nursing home. So I just love everything about it.
Well, my name is Daniel Connor. I was born and raised next to this guy. We're not actually brothers, but yeah, same church. Anyways, my favorite food is a cheeseburger. Not fast food. You go to a nice restaurant, you pay a lot of money, and they cook it right. My favorite part was the mission trip. It was absolutely awesome and incredible, and we have tons of pictures, so check it out. Oh, and God was there.
My name is Ruth. I'm from Wadsworth, Ohio. My favorite food is definitely fried chicken. And I haven't had it in a while, actually. My favorite part about Agora is also just the community. Like, I came from, like, a homeschooled family, and I didn't really want to go to college, so I wanted, like, an in-between, and I came to Agora. And it was cool because we all got to experience life together, and it was a bunch of firsts for everybody, and it was just really cool to grow with these people.
Hi, guys. I'm Hannah Cooper. I am from Norwalk, Ohio. My favorite food is all the above. And my favorite part of Agora is there is never, ever, ever, ever a dull moment.
Hi, I'm... Dull moment. A dull moment. All right. Hi, I am Emily. I am from Medina. My favorite food would have to be meatloaf. And well, okay, not alone. I like meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and then asparagus with cheese. and my, yes, this is the meal I ask for my mom to make me every time I go home on break. And then my favorite part about Agora would probably be community, but I also love getting to see and experience different cultures. And, like, we're with Saudi Arabians, and we're with, yeah. We've been working with Saudi Arabian students, and that's really, really cool to get to experience their culture and going to JG and just getting to see your worldview is so broadened at Agora, and so it's just, I absolutely love every part of it.
Hello there. My name is David. I am from Amish country, word, although I personally am about as Amish as a Slovenian sausage barbecue. So my favorite food, honestly, I'm probably going to have to go with Daniel, cheeseburger. It's a well-cooked cheeseburger. There's nothing more American or manly than that. And as such, my favorite part of Agora, I noticed there's a trend here. We all want to say community because when you start at Agora, you are kind of baptized by fire because you find out, oh, hey, we're just going to throw you all in a van and take you down to Jackson, Mississippi, where you're a minority for the first time in your life. And that's always fun. And you bond with these guys like we become a family like that. I'm a second year now. I've had to go through this twice, and it's been probably the best experience that God has ever taken me through. So,
Hi, I'm Shelby. I'm from Cincinnati, and my favorite food is crab rangoon. It's like those little things at Chinese buffets with the little thing inside. Oh, it's so good. And I have two favorite things about Agora. I'm going to go with the flow and say the community. I didn't expect to like these people as much as I do. Yeah, they're all my family, and I love them. And then the second part is just the spiritual growth that I've gone through in the short amount of time that I've been at Agora. It's just been completely astonishing what God does through us, through our classes, through our experiences with each other, and through the different ministries that we get to be a part of.
Did you hear one thing go through all of these students? It's the group together. So to be completely cheesy and to borrow from your youth pastor, this is reality. This is how the body of Christ should work, right? This is how close and together we should be. This is your new normal. Da-dum-tsh. Hey. There you go. There you go. All right, you guys can go ahead and have a seat. We're going to be hanging around for a little bit afterwards, so if you guys have any questions about the school, I just want to wrap up by saying that for a year, a first-year Agora student pays $12,500 for the whole year. That sounds like a lot, but it's less than half of your average college experience and sometimes less than a third, okay? And since you go to this school, you become a student missionary, and you can raise your tuition like you're going onto the mission field. You can ask for people to support you like you are going out to be a missionary yourself. It's a pretty phenomenal experience, and I'm very pleased that he took me up on my command, and I get to surrender the microphone now to my little brother David. This young man has a gift from the Lord for communication. He has a heart to serve, even when he willingly admits that he doesn't want to. And God, I've seen God change perspectives. I've seen God change his life and some of his direction, and grow a young man that wasn't in existence a year ago because of a new normal in his life. Because the Spirit, the power, and the presence of God were actively working in him, and he was being stretched beyond his own limits. So I'd like you to welcome David Perdan as he brings a message to you this evening.
Oh, gosh, wow. Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, I am David Perdan, you know, as you said, confused teenager extraordinaire. So, as such, you know, what I'd like to talk to you guys today about, wait for this. Be more. Wow, can I hear an ooh? Okay, there we go. You see, now, here's the thing. In high school, I was raised homeschooled, so I'm not exactly what you would call an overachiever. Now, I might see some skeptical complaints from that, but trust me, in high school, I did okay. You see, here's the thing. I was the perfect average teenager. You know, I got decent grades. You know, I went to church, was physically active. Sure, I had my vices, you know, video games, way too many video games. I had, you know, good friends, you know, I didn't do drugs or alcohol. Got in trouble occasionally, but, you know, nothing serious. You see, here's the thing, I coasted on the expectations set for me as a teenager. Now, by the world, the parents, and even my church's standpoint, you know, I was a really good kid. You know what? God wanted to be more than what I was doing with myself. You know, two summers ago, here's a little bit of a story for you. Two summers ago, I was 17. That was the year that God kind of kicked me in the butt and says, guess what? You're going to be a man now, whether you want to be or not. And I'm like, okay, God. So I came with the impending realization that as I was about to leave high school, I needed this thing called money to pursue this thing called college, to do this thing called getting more money for my family. And I realized in order to do that, I needed, well, you would guess it, money. So I started, you know, I'm like, okay, Mom, you know, it's time for me to become a big boy now. I need to get a job this summer. And so she's like, all right, well, you know what, let's pray about it. I'm like, God, do we really have to involve him? you know, the creator of the universe. I mean, what's he going to do? And you know what? So we prayed, and I'm like, all right. You know, God, I'm tired of just being average. You know, I'm tired of just coasting by on what I want to do. And I'm like, all right, God, so I need to get a job this summer. And I trust that you will help me find a job that will fit all of my passions and talents and somehow will glorify you. And I'm going to say, be very careful, because I keep forgetting that God is real and he will answer your prayers. So as such, I come downstairs and my mom's like, hey, so you know how you wanted to get a job like flipping burgers somewhere? Well, why don't you flip burgers at the medieval fair? And I'm like, yeah. So point is I'm like, all right, God, you know, this is, you know, what you want me to do. I'm like, I might as well flip burgers somewhere that, you know, is different. So I go there and I'm like, all right, what's going on? And they're looking at me all weird and stuff. And I'm like, this is like really weird. I just want to, you know, get a burger flipping job. I love burgers. That's all I want. And so they're like, all right, well, you know, Mr. Pradhan, we'll see you now. I'm like, all right, and go into the office. And I'm like, I start realizing that this is a very fishy interview for flipping burgers. You see, they weren't exactly, you know, there was none of the Social Security information, none of that. It was, they started asking me questions about, you know, do you have any experience acting and stuff? And meanwhile, I'm getting into it. I'm like, this is a legit gig. Like, I have to be in character to, you know, serve food to people. Like, this is intense. Like, I was getting into it. And before I left, I somehow realized God had led me into the office on the one day that they were holding auditions for cast for the year without me knowing. 12 hours later, I was cast into the lead role as D'Artagnan. Woohoo! There you go, David. Summer job. I have no clue what I was doing with life. I'm like, God, did you see these people? I'm like a youth groupian kid, you know, like I haven't had like a bad day in my life, and here I am with these, you know, well, the medieval fair people. I'll leave it at that. So throughout the summer, you know, God stretched me. He gave me, and he incorporated absolutely every one of my passions and talents. And I'm like, God, do I really have to do this? I have to go up on stage and, oh, by the way, you're a martial artist. All right, well, how about you do, you know, sword fighting on stage? I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's cool. I could do a lot worse things for God, you know. I'm like, but God, how am I serving this? It stretched me in ways I never even knew possible. Every night I'd come home and I'd be like, God, like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is probably nothing. There's no way that this could possibly be benefiting you, right? And at the very end of the medieval fair, I managed to reach out to three of my friends there. One young lady in particular who called me crying in the middle of the night. This was about a week after we ended, saying, I just wanted to let you know that you have helped me refine my faith in the Lord, that because you were there, you know. I'm like, what did I do? And she's like, David, you don't understand. You were there, that in the back when you know, we were all, you know, in the back drinking when we were doing this, that you were over there, you know, this mild-mannered 17-year-old homeschooled boy sitting there praying before he eating. Meanwhile, everything else is going on. She's like, you helped me refine my faith. Now, today I'm going to say that none of that was me, although the thing that I'm going to challenge everyone with before I get into what God says about all of this, because he's really important, is we need to be more than where we are right now. So far we've gotten many perspectives. How about the one that matters? All right, so 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Now, this verse, obviously, was written by Paul to a young man named Timothy. Now, Timothy had a call on his life, just like you do. Well, David, I mean, but he was being put in his place by the culture's understanding. This is sounding rather depressing, David. You know, where are you going with this? I mean, what do you expect from me? As Christians, we have to be living not like the world. You see, in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, how are we supposed to do this? You know, how? Okay, I feel, you know, trapped. I mean, I'm just a teenager. I don't know what you're expecting of me. I don't know what God's expecting of me. I mean, You know, I do well for myself. You know, I reach out to my friends. I do all this. Well, first off, set an example in speech. Now, words are more powerful than any of us realize. You see, God created the world. What does the Bible say? God created the world because he touched it? No, God created because he spoke. God's words are power. The Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us. Our words have the power to either build up or tear down kingdoms. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians what that's supposed to look like. It says, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are called to use our words to heal, to help, to encourage. Literally anyone can tear something down. It takes no skill, no swag, no class. No, it takes absolutely nothing to be able to demolish someone verbally. The true difficulty is in taking the time to bring someone up, especially when we don't want to. And here's the thing that, you know, I personally struggle with. We're supposed to do this consistently. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, I would have two different me's. I would have church-going Bible-thumping David, and then I would have school hang out with my friends David. The verbiage between the two was not always congruent. But you see, here's the thing. As you leave this building, if you're swearing, if you're trash-talking to everything with a face, absolutely there is no purpose in what you're doing. If you're not living yourself to be set apart as holy, as different, you're blending in with the rest of society. You're just coasting on the expectation set. Well, that's just those nasty kids, you know, with their iPods and their teleophones. See, at the medieval fair, if I talked and swore just like everybody else did, and believe me, at times when I was stretched, when I was hungry, when I was tired, when I was just like, I'm frustrated with everything, there are times when I didn't exactly want to build people up with my words. But if I did that, nothing about me would have stood out. The Holy Spirit could not have used me to be more in that situation. What's the next thing? Set an example in conduct. Just like I'm saying, we're not supposed to be stuck in the same gunk that the rest of the world is. You cannot be more for yourself, let alone Jesus, if you're completely conformed to everything that everybody else in your generation is caught in. Now, you've heard the infamous, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's incredibly cliche, but as older I get, I realize how true it is. When you're hanging out with your friends, we're called to be light in darkness, to let the Holy Spirit shine through us so that we can influence others. But it's that key that's important. When you're the different one in your circle of friends, I'm talking non-Christian friends, are you the one doing the influencing to them? Or are they the ones influencing you? Sometimes I justified what I did, the slacking, you know, the not really caring. Because I'm saying, oh, well, you know, Jesus calls us, you know, he hung out with non-Christians, those tax collectors and stuff. That's exactly what I'm doing. And I played video games with them for like 9 hours. No, there was absolutely no difference between me and any of their other friends. There was nothing that was set me apart. There was nothing that I did to be more. And lastly, what was Timothy called to do? To set an example in faith and purity. Now, purity is a way of life. When Paul told Timothy to set an example, he was reminding him once again not to sell himself into the same traps that everything in his culture, everything in his world was telling him was okay. Staying sexually well as well as spiritually pure can help drive you to the next level. And that is involved a lot more than just keeping it holy till the honeymoon, as you've heard in at many youth conventions, everyone I've ever been to. It's a way of life. It's a way of safeguarding your mind and your heart to protect yourself and equip yourself for the work that God wants you to do. Not, you know, when you graduate high school and eventually go on to ministry school and eventually, you know. No, now. God is calling you to be more now. In high school, as you're drowning in homework, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life right now. Maybe God will make me something one day, but calling, this big fancy word, we all want to know what God's plan is for our life. Calling starts now. In fact, this whole word adolescence, you know, it didn't even exist 100 years ago. In fact, I have a definition back here that it's kind of convicting. Adolescence, by Alex Harris, is identified as the artificial zone between childhood and adulthood, when young people ceased to be children but were no longer permitted by law to assume the normal responsibilities of adulthood, such as entering into a trade to gain lawful employment. Consequently, marriage and family had to be delayed as well, so we invented the teenager, an unfortunate creature who had all the yearnings and capabilities of an adult, but none of the freedoms and responsibilities. Yeah. That incredibly described me back when I could have done so much more with myself when I was in high school. All the time that I wasted, all of the opportunities that I just didn't follow because there was no need to. Again, I went to church. I even volunteered on Sunday morning. I did my civic duty in the kingdom. Or so I thought. The more I look back, the more I realize how much I was truly blinded by the idea that, I'll impact the kingdom someday. You know, someday God's going to put me in that. But that calling starts today. So what's your role in this? I get it, but what can I do about it? Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. Ooh, none of us like that part. When we lose our influence, when we lose that which makes us sanctify, when we lose that which makes us separate to be impacting the kingdom, we lose our flavor. Now, salt is used for taste, yes, but it's also used to preserve food. Guys, we are the salt and the light of the earth. Jesus calls us to be the catalyst to heal everything. Now, me, I also was tempted to just hide myself in the trap of just complaining about all the bad things that all of my friends were doing without really, they should really go to youth group, you know. My pastor says that you probably shouldn't be doing that. And so I realized that I probably should have been the one inviting them. I should have been the one bringing to them personally. Jesus lives in each and every one of us, not just those who are ministers. Be more. Live your life as an example to our generation. Now, let's just say theoretically you already are a generational leader. Now, honestly, this isn't meant to convict everybody here. This is a matter of I'm doing all that I can. Because I then also fell into the trap. As soon as I realized I can be doing so much more, suddenly, when you're not average anymore, you are, who's a big word, statistical anomaly. You're different. It's a teen who's trying. It's so cool. He's the best. Oh, David, you're going to go so far. Praise Jesus, you know. You're going to go far, young man. You see? But here's the second trap that I fell into is as soon as I started actually stepping out and becoming more, I also became more of myself. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe God does have a call in my life now. Not a big deal. You know, I'm just this mild-mannered 19-year-old musketeer for Jesus up here. You know, it's just passing the time. No. It's the equal opposite idea that you're just going to get, what is this, knowledge puffeth us up? It's an old word. Wow. Exactly. Be humble as you move forward. Be more, but more importantly, bring others up with you. This isn't a one-man crusade. We are the church, the body of Christ, us, together. I'm probably like an elbow or something. And Emily over there with her beautiful voice and the singing, she's the hand. We are all interconnected as a body. So instead of one going way up here and leaving the others behind because, you know, I rose to the occasion, why aren't they? Bring others up with you, together. Our world cannot last another generation of Christian young people who fit in. We need to make the conscious decision to be a light in the darkness, to be different for God, to stand out, and to be more. Now, guys, before I close, I'm going to leave you guys with this. Actually, Daniel, if you could come up and play with your sweet musical goodness. Exactly. But we're gonna take a moment as Daniel plays here, just for the next 5 minutes. Now, this is something that I personally struggled with for a long time, is you're like, all right, so I hear you, David. You know, I understand everything that's going on. You know, I want to be more. I want to know what's more out there. What can I be doing now? Guys, this is a personal call. This is a personal call for each and every one of us. And here's the cool thing. Just like God answered my prayer about sending me and growing me and having me touch and impact lives 2 summers ago, he will do that for you tonight. If you talk to him, he will answer you just as he answered me, guys. If you give your heart, if you desire to be more for him, not for yourself, but for his glory, guys, he's going to take you far. He's going to take you places that you never thought possible. If you would have talked to me 3 years ago and asked me if I would be giving this very message today, I would have thought you were crazy. But guys, God is so much bigger than what we think he is. Even everything that we sing, everything even that we read about, he is so much bigger. God imagined imagination. Imagine that. All right? So what I want you to do is for the next 3 minutes or so, together, if you want to come up to the altar, you know, I'm happy to pray with you. You know, if other Agoralings would be willing to come up and pray with people, we want to help you find what God wants you to be doing right now.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.